I think we're more or less up to date. I think we might be a lot behind. Today is the 22nd of Shvat.
Tonight's stock is Ches.
Okay, so we're behind one. Okay. Rava. Oh, no, of course we'll be on Ches tonight. Sure we'll be on Ches tonight. Yeah. Rava Beis Shem, right? Yeah, okay. We're about to date. Okay. So, we are Rava Beis at the two dots. Moser Omer, which is almost at the top, but not quite. Do you see the two dots almost at the top of Omer base? Moser Omer, the leftover from the Omer. What happens like this? What happens is that when you they harvest for the carbon Omer, so they harvest much more than they need because they sift it 13 times over, so it should be very fine. So what's left over from the carbon Omer at the end, what's left over from the sifting? The shaila is, do you have to take challah off of that when you set it, so when you make a dough out of it or not? So our Mishnah said you do not. Masdisin lo krabi kiva. Our Mishnah is not a krabi kiva. The Rakiva chayev and challah and meiser. Krabi kiva said the leftover for the korban omer is chayev and challah and meiser. Okay, you have to take off challah from it. You have to take off meiser from it. Basically, the question is whether it has the same status as bona fide hekdesh or not. It was designated to be a korban. It never made it to be a korban. Does it have the same status as a korban, that it's exempt from all the gifts to the Kohanim or not? That is the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the rabbis of our Mishnah. Utvush levi ashlish. Now, this is a very interesting thing. A grain which has not yet reached the third is exempt from everything, except for trumas, mitzvahs of any sort, except it's not exempt from challah. Rabban and our Mishnah said it's chayev and challah. We didn't put enough emphasis on that. It's machlokas Rabban and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabban hold that a grain which has not yet grown a third is chayev and challah. In other words, if you take it and you make dough out of it, so you have to take challah off of it. So my time with the Rabban, what's the Rabban who say it's chayev? Nemar lechem b'pesach, it says bread by Pesach. Nemar lechem b'challah, it says bread by challah. Ma lechem anemar b'pesach, just like the bread which is stated by Pesach, Dover Shubali de Matzo Chomet, it's anything which can come to Matzo and Chomet. Anything which can be baked leavened or unleavened. Avchlechem Shinemar Bechalo, so to bread which is stated by Chalo. Dover Shubali de Matzo and Chomet, it's something which can be either leavened or unleavened. Now, the thing is, grain, even if it's not a third grown, can be leavened or unleavened. That's the bottom line. My time with Rabbi Lezer, what's the logic of Rabbi Lezer? Kitchum Asgoyim and Ketachimu, I saw. The logic of Rabbi Lezer is that it's like Rabbi Lezer, who says that if it's less than a third grown, you don't have to take challah off of it when you make a dough out of it. So he holds that the status is like truma, because challah and truma are linked. Ma truma is goyer mi peir shevir shlish, just like truma of the silos from fruit which has grown to a third of its growth. Avzumi peir shevir shlish, so too this is also from fruit which has grown to a third of its growth. Meaning, if it's less than a third of its growth, it's not chayev and challah. Now, so all that is straightforward. Now we're going to get into some little bit of a novelty here. But lately, Rabbi Lezer lechem lechem. Does Rabbi Lezer not hold? I heard the mailbox. I knew it was you. You mail letters very often before you come in. Lezer, Rabbi Lezer. See, I read a lot of detective novels, so I know these things. Lately, Rabbi Lezer. Does Rabbi Lezer not know? Lechem lechem. Does he not hold of the drush of lechem lechem? After all, it says lechem here. It says lechem by Pesach, lechem by challah, and lechem by Pesach. Just like by Pesach, anything which can become chametz and matzah. So it's over here, anything which can become chametz and matzah should be chayev in challah. They were talking about the machlokas in our Mishnah, which had to do with whether grain, which is less than a third grown, is chayev in challah when you make it into a dough or not. Rabbanan hold it's chayev, because they learn out from anything which can become leavened or unleavened from Pesach. Rabbi Lezer holds its potter because he learns out from Truma. Because the only thing is Chayiv and Truma, Chayiv and Chalon, and if it's less than a third grown, it can never become Chayiv and Truma. Now we ask the question, Lezer, Rabbi Lezer, Lechem, Lechem, where are we? Opposite what in the Ritbaz?
Opposite two lines above where it says the Dibri Masvo Shmuel.
Two lines above where it says Shmuel. Okay. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer, Lechem. Lechem doesn't know the Xer Shava of Lechem. Lechem, we learn our bread from Pesach. Askechtani b'shem Rabbi Lezer. Now this is amazing. We found name Rabbi Lezer. Eina chayevus b'chalav. Eina dem yitzei dechubayi dechovasu b'pesach. I know it's not so amazing, but you're not yitzei chiyev of matzah if you eat a matzah which is baked from grain which are grown less than 30 of its growth. In other words, you have to eat mature grain in order to be chayev in order to be able to eat matzah. Okay, what about the next question then? Follows, we should ask the following question. Korei Blezol said, you're not chayev in chala. You're not yetzi matzah with grain which is less than a third grown. Mao she chayev in alechem shlom shum chodesh. Does chodesh apply to that grain? Right? Is it also to eat until after the korban omer? Rabbi Yudha, Rabbi Yudha said yes. I'll tell you why. See, because it says by the parameters of chodesh, the lechem, the koli, the karmel lo sochlu, it says bread, and koli is toasted grain, and karmel means raw grain, you should not eat until you bring the korban omer. Well, you could toast any grain. You could toast even grain which is less than a third grown. So, im chayovin al koli shalom mishum chodesh, anytime you're chayiv, even on the toast, because of chodesh, and of course, as I said, you could toast grain even if it's less than a third grown. Chayav on lechem shlo mishum chodosh. You chayav on bread which is made from it because of chodosh as well. So despite the fact that it's really not normal bread, since there's a linkage between kali, anything which could be toasted, and this bread, so therefore it is subject to the normal parameters of chodosh, meaning you can't eat until after the korban omer. Okay, if there was a type of grain which when toasted you would not have the application of chodesh, then on its bread there would also not be an application of chodesh as well, but that's not our case. Rabbi Zira said, it says, aser taser shemaiser is kol tvoa zarecha, shemaiser all the grain of your seeds. Dover shu nizra umatzmiach. It's something which we could plant and it will grow. Yotza pachas mishlish. This is as opposed to something which is less than a third grown. Meaning, if you replant in the ground, shim nizra umatzmiach, it's not going to grow anything. So Rav Kazira is giving the rationale not for our issue of chala, but for why you're examining Jumasumais and something which is less than a third grown. Why? Because it is not suitable for replanting, reseeding and replanting.
What did you learn that from the
Pasuk? Called for us? It's called a tvua which can become, then again, zera, can become a seed, right. Pshita ad Rabbanin. Now it's poshut that according to Rabbanon, Rabbanon ruled that if it grew less than a third, that it is it's chayv chala, but exempt from ma'aser, right? Pshita ad Rabbanon ba'in pachas mishal l'shlish. If you, let's say, you made a dough which consists of stuff which is normal grain, meaning more than a third grown grain, and stuff which is less than a third grow, you mix them all together. So pshita the rabbanim by ain pachas mishlub misholosh mishlish sheino nigro linim maisos. That which is less than a third is not schlepped along in terms of miser. It's not schlepped along. In other words, if the major part of the dough is chayim and trumas and maisos, that matter the minor part. I don't know any part. Part of the dough is chayim and trumas maisers because it's more than a third grown, and the other part is less than a third grown. It doesn't schlep it together. In other words, you only have to take off trumas and maisers based on a proportion, not based on the stuff which is less than a third grown. That's only a lead up to where we want to ask. Now we're going to ask the question we want to ask. Rabbi Chia bar Yosef Shaul, Chia Yosef asked, Al daited Rabbi Lezer, according to Rabbi Lezer, who holds that stuff which is less than a third grown is exempt from chala. Maushi and Negro in the chala. If you mix in that stuff which is less than a third grown with stuff which is a third grown, does it schlep it along? How so? Ki isas ores. We have precedent for this. Precedent we learned early in the Masechta. By now we all forgot. I forgot too. That if you have a dough which is made primarily, again I don't know if it's primarily, but it's made a significant extent of wheat. There's also rice as part of it. So you have to take challah from the rice as well. Because although rice does not ferment properly on its own, when it's put into a dough together with grain, so it's considered to ferment properly. So then when you take the challah off, you have to take off the challah not just proportional to the original proper grain which you had, but proportional also to the additional rice which is there as well. So to here, the question is, do we say that which is less than a third grown is dragged in, so to speak, to there that which is already a third grown? And of course, the word doesn't answer.
You drew a couple of days ago where you had a circle of dough, and then you had little pieces of dough.
Those are all grains. Those are all different types of grains, right. Okay. This is talking about where you mixed in. Not adjacent there too, not juxtaposed, but actually mixed in rice. Okay, and that expands the definition of the dough to include the rice. Okay? Says Gmoresh Mubaraba Boy, Ezu Chodesh V'yoshin Shebechalva. That's an interesting question. There's halach, of course, you can't take truma off from 1 year's, from fiscal year 5758 and fiscal year 5757, right? There's halach that you can't take off. Truma Meiser from 1 year on the other. What about challah? Can you take Truma Meiser from 1 year from challah from 1 year on the other? Now there's a larger question in that, which is what determines the year vis-a-vis challah, right? So that's what Gemara is about to deal with. Shmuel bar Abba boy, Ezu Chodesh v'Yoshin Moshe v'Challah. How do we find Chodesh and Yoshin v'Challah? Give it, so it says I want to tell you. Shtei Tzadot. You have two fields. You have one which grew a third before Rosh Hashanah, say before Rosh Hashanah 5758. One grew less than a third before the beginning of 5758. In other words, grew a seventh in a third in 5758, not in 5757. So, in terms of their halachas, l'chala achas. You take challah from one field on the other field. They're interchangeable in terms of challah. With Meisterstein, by terms of Meister, there are two separate fields. Why? Because one goes after last year, the one which was already mature in 5757. One goes after next year, the one which is only mature in 5758. Okay? That's okay. That's straight up. The problem is we haven't yet defined challah, right? We just said the challah achas, so we see the parameter of challah is not a third. Now, of course, according to Rabbi Lezer, it is, because Rabbi Lezer holds they only become chayim challah once it grows a third, but we're going Rabbanon here. Rabbanon holds it's chayim challah even when it's younger, more immature than the third grown.
What's the phrase with achas?
No, I think you're punctuating wrong. Try again. Shtei sotos. Achas v'yishlish, comma, meaning lift before Rosh Hashanah. V'achas pachas mishlish, and one was less than the third grown before Rosh Hashanah. So when does it grow? Third next year.
Right.
So it's l'chala achas. They can still take chala from the growth of one field and the growth of the other field. But l'maisr's time, in terms of maisr, they're two separate fields. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah is the cutoff date.
For Meiser.
Not for Challah. Now we're going to talk about for Challah. Achas Pachas Mishlish. Let's say one of them is less than a third grown of 5757. And one of them is even more mature. Achas HaSovin. One of them is still only grass in 5757. Then the Challah's time. In terms of Challah, they're two separate fields. Oh, so what do we see? The cutoff point is vis-a-vis challah. What do we see? The first glimmerings of grain is what makes it a field vis-a-vis challah. So here, it's these two fields were both less than a third grown by Rosh Hashanah, but one of them already had glimmerings of grain, and the other did not. So there are two separate years vis-a-vis challah. The one which had the grain already apparent in 5757, it's a 5757 challah. The one which had the grain apparent only in 5758, it's a 5758 challah. But for Meister, they're both 5758 fields. Why? Because neither of them was a third grown when it came to Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So, Again, Shtayim, L'chala Shtayim. It's L'chala, the two fields. When Meister terms of Meister, Achas, it's one field. Achas if you're Shlish, V'achas Hasovim. What if you have two fields? One already was the third grown before Rosh Hashanah, and one was still in the grass stage before Rosh Hashanah. Bein L'chala, Bein L'Meister Shtayim. So both in terms of Chal, in terms of Meiser, they're two separate fields. Why? Because the Chal, one is still grass. It's certainly next year's field. In terms of Meiser also, since it's grass, it's less than a third grown. And therefore, it's certainly susceptible to next year as well. Okay? End of the issue. New issue. Ben Asai Mao. Between, what is the status of between? What do you mean by that? In the previous mission, we talked about stuff which is Chayiv and Chal and exempt from Meiser. In the next mission, we're going to talk about stuff which is exempt both from Chal and Meiser. Somewhere in the next mission. Wait. The exact opposite. In the first mission, we're talking about those things that are chayim and chal and exempt from Meiser. In the next mission, we're talking about those things which are exempt from chal and chayim and Meiser.
Yeah, those are the two differences.
What about the things in between? Bein Asai means the stuff in between. What about an in-between case? And we'll define what in-between case is in the middle. In a minute. Rabbi Yehuda b'shem b'shem b'loge said Bein Asai and Kabrishayna. The cases which fall in the middle, they're like the first Mishnah. They're exempt from Meiser and Chayiv and Chala. Rabbi Yosef Shem Hashem and Logos have been assigned. The middle cases are Kachoyna, like the last cases. They're Chayiv and Meiser and Potter from Chala. Okay, tell me a case. Ezer Ben Asayim, what's a middle case? Hos Isa Min HaTevel. This is a very interesting case. You make a dough from Tevel.
Non-tithed. Completely untithed, pristine.
It comes before you. Chalo, Hosa Isa Mina Tevel. Chalo Chayevis Betruma. So the truth is, this should have been a question, but now we're already giving the answer. It's Chalo is Chayev and Truma, and it's Truma is Chayevis and Chalo. In other words, they're not mutually exclusive. The chal has to be taken up proportionally in that which is truma, and the truma has to be taken up proportionally in that which is chalo as well. Okay, you can't say, well, each one is not subject to any proportions because it's distinct. You have to take off on each one of them. Okay?
What if he gave the truma to the coin?
Take off chal corresponding to that truma he gave the coin. That's his responsibility. Or his coin is coming out eating tevel. Okay, minayin shel chala chayevus v'truma. How we know that the chala must be tithed with truma? Rabbi Yitzchak b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Marta b'shem Rav said, because it says chala tarim v'truma. It says chala, you should take truma, which from which we darshan, we understand the mean, mei chala tarim v'truma. From chala, you still have to take two of truma. And vice versa, minayin shel truma chayevus chala. How we know that the truma is liable to chala? Mean Kusuvi, from the rabbis from Kusuvi, the Kusuvitskis. The rabbis from Kusuvi. What did they say?
Kosovo is actually a region in Macedonia.
Patri, no, Dain Kaya, they're out from this pasuk. Because it says, Reshis Tarimu Chala. It's actually a contraction of the pasuk. The pasuk says, Reshis Ariso Sechem, the first of your So, chala tarimu truma. So we darshan that truma is chayim and chala because we're saying the reishis, that's already truma, the first tithe, from that you should take off chala. So we see that the chala is chayim and truma and the truma is chayim and chala. Okay? Says more further. Has sufganin. Now sufganin in modern Hebrew means jelly donuts. Same thing. Sufgani and sufganiyot. This is the plural in Aramaic. So, but here it's actually a kind of sponge cake. I don't think it's a jelly dough. It's kind of sponge cake. So the sufganim is trikta.
That's what it's called in Aramaic, or another kind of dialect. What? Well, we're going to talk about that. But the consistency of the dough is different. Actually, it's a different consistency dough in the bread. It's sponge-like, which I assume means it's like sponge cake. Okay? Asupkanim, that's trikta. Haduv shonim, honey donuts, those are maligala. That's what they're called. Iskratin, that's a very loose dough. The brachos in Bavli. Yeah, in Ketzer Mevarchim, all the different brachos on these things. Ha'iskratin are chalit in the shuk. These are like bagels things. They're made by coming to contact with very hot water, and they are sold in the marketplace. The chalas misras, that's the same idea, but it's chalit in the mayid, done in water, as opposed to first 100 guests are done in oil. Rabbi Yochanan trikta cheves b'chal, the sponge-like bread is chayim mechala. Mr. Zuger, it's chayim mechala. We want us to wait to get a cup of coffee. We're still off coffee.
No.
What? You're back on coffee again. Good to hear it. Okay. Have to get your phone to ring. I see you have a phone. We'll have to get it to ring. So chalas misras is chalit in the Maya. It's whatever that's called, scalded in hot water. Rabbi Elamai trikta chavis and chala. Trikta is chayim and chala. Vaymer alav, and you make on it amaytzi lechem min oretz. So the sponge like bread is chala and it's chayim and amaytzi. You can be yetzir chiv on Pesach. Interesting thing again. I don't know how you make it because obviously just bread and flour, but somehow you got the dough to have a sponge like consistency. Sponge cake is made with eggs. Yeah. Okay. I don't. Okay, but Rabbi Shimon Lokas Shomer. Chikta in a chayvus b'chala because it's not bread. Ve'enam yelov mitzvah minoritz because it's not bread. Ve'enam yetsi b'dei chavos pesach because it's not bread. Rabbi Yossi Mar Tarte. Rabbi Yossi brought down this machlokas. He brought down another machlokas. Rabbi Yochum Rish Lakish. Rabbi the first machlokas, the one we just saw. Rabbi Yochum Mar Chikta chayvus b'chala. The sponge like stuff is chayv b'chala. Ve'enam yelov mitzvah minoritz. Anyway, can I make it a mighty bottom boy? You're to be the Chobos of Pesach and present. Is you're to scheme on Pesach? I'm Shimon Logan Shoma. Trick do ain't no chayev, it's Bechalo. It's not Chayim Bechalo. Vainu I'm a love, I'm a tech minority, don't make a mozi on it. Vainu I'm here to be the Chobos of Pesach, present. Now you're to scheme on Pesach. That Machlokas you already saw. Rabbi Yossi, you're Machori. Rabbi Yossi then added another Machlokas. Now this is a very interesting Machlokas. Rabbi Yechanan Omer. Amar, kosher mahalich mitachtav, anything you bake or fry or cook where the heat source is underneath whatever is being cooked is chayim mechala. Really? A heat source underneath. Now that's not the only case, because in the old days, how do they bake bread? From the side. So avadi, if it's on the side, it's chayim. But even below, it's still chayiv. Okay.
Well, the heat source was not on the side. The heat source was below. It just stuck in the collar on the side.
Yeah, but the flames were in the middle. That's called me that's hot. The more is going to be clarify that.
It excludes anything that's being broiled where the heat source is on top.
Right. Excludes anything being broiled. Rabbi Shim, V'yoyt, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar, however, he said, kosher mach mitachtov eino chayachay b'chal. Anything where the fire is underneath is not chay b'chal. It's where you need the fire to be. On the side. He dafko to need it on the side.
Vein omrim lo mitzlach mnoetz kemik omotzi aveinu da vietu dechol osim Pesach. Normally Rabbi Yochanan Ben Yehuda said, one respect I concede to you. It's a very basic respect. Ubilvad, as long as it's not Aidei Mashke. Where I said the fire's underneath, I didn't mean the fire's underneath a pot full of water in which the dough is cooking. Not cooking dough, baking. I meant even if you bake with the fire below, that's still bread. But after bake, you can't cook. Okay? No liquids. Masisa Bliga Rabbi Yochanan. The following Mishnah seems to argue Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah says, our Mishnah actually, has to have gone in the sponge-like stuff, Badushanim stuff, which is full of honey, Vaiskaritin, I forgot what that is. Oh, the stuff which is scalded in the hot water. The Chasim is the stuff which is fried in the pan. Vamaduma, and where Truma got mixed in with the batch, all Pter Min HaChala. It's all Pater from Chala. It's not like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Tzufkan in HaChayim in Chala. So Pater La, Rabbi Yochanan will explain our Mishnah. By Sufganim Shinasu, and there's a typo here, it should be Bechama. It's talking about sponge cake which is made in the sun. That's not bread. Anything made in the sun is not bread, even if it gets very hot and baked properly. It's not like it should be bread.
The heat source is from above.
It's on top, right. That's right. I was going to say that. I forgot. Right.
It still would be not no good because I assume the sand is heated up by the sun.
Of course, it gets heated up by the sun. But when it says nasib or nasib chama, does that mean that it has to be directly the sun beating down on, or can't
be a fire source?
It can't be the reflection of the sun.
No. So that's not going to be true.
Well, I told you once, the Shmir, not in this Daf Yomi, the morning Daf Yomi, Shmir Shabbos Suchos in the first edition was Matir, a Dud Shemesh on Shabbos.
Where are you going to get it? Yeah, okay, we'll wait till you get back. Yeah, bring back to
Shmir Shabbos Suchos said in his first edition that a Dud Shemesh is mutter to use on Shabbos, because the truth is it's not even told us chama. Chazal asked with anything where you heat up a vessel and the vessel heats up then a foodstuff, but here it's the sun itself heating up the water. Then in the second edition he asked it because there are those who hold that the heating of the pipes, it's true you're not heating up first the receptacle and then heating up the water, but the sun does hit, you know, contraption on the roof, which is what heats up the water. So he made it, so in the second edition he treated that as Todos Chamash. So I don't know if was that what you were about to ask me about a Dud Shemesh?
Well, he's talking about
right.
The sun heating up the sand.
Yeah. Right, I would say it's Bepata from Chala. No, it's my point. If the sun beat down on the sand, and then the sand cook the.
Because it's indirect.
It's indirect. But that's only difference by Shabbos, not by Challah. By Challah, anytime the heat source is the sun, it seems like it's not going to be considered to be Chayim and Challah. Okay, but Shabbos would make a difference whether it's Chayim or Togos Chayim. But not by, I don't think by Challah. I mean, you know, you said before that it's with it because the fire is not going underneath it. So that was somewhat glib, right? Because, not because it's incorrect, but because it's not completely all encompassing. Because in your case, even though the heat source is underneath, since it comes from the sun, it's not going to be Chayim and Challah. Okay? That's my impression. No cups. Oh. Are there cups though? Okay. Okay. Says more further. Now here it says again, there's a typo. It should be apostle of subkai shenazel beur. They made the fire, and it should. That's what it says here. It should say subkai shenazel bechama. They made in the sun. Now the next word should be detanya. We learned it in Braisa. We don't have detanya, and then it should be instead of ve'ein, it should be ein. The tani ain't yotze b'sufganim shnas subchama. You can't be yotze matzah with subganim which are made in the sun. Yotze b'sufganim shnas subur. You can be yotze with subganim which are made in the fire. V'leis hadopli or shemen lakish. Ask more. Anyway, this is arguing Rish Lakish because Rish Lakish holds that got to be fire on the side. Here's fire's on the bottom. It seems right. That's how he makes subganim. So, but to look, so you know what he's talking about. The truth is, he's talking about a case where the ur is going. He says any sukkah which are okay for Pesach, it must be that the fire initially went on the side and not underneath. Okay. Milayim Rabbanan Pligin. The words of the rabbis, which we're going to learn, argue. Now, what in the world do they argue on? Nothing to do with Masech Lechalo, mind you. They argue in a Mishnah Masech Trumos. In Masech Trumos, it says there that, actually, it's not a Mishnah, it's a discussion there in the Gemara. Masech Trumos, it says, if you have one fig of one fig of Truma, which got mixed in with 100 figs of Chulin, of course, the one fig is Bato, right? That's the halacha of Truma being Bato Baro, 1 in 100. What happens, however, if the one fig was white and all the other figs are brown and it got pressed in? So it's machlok is there whether I say nonetheless bittul barov that it's canceled. I say since it's so different, it's not bittul barov. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it is bittul barov even though it's different. The Gemara says that's only true, however, if you have at least two other figs the same color. Because then either rice it's bittul barov, two against one. Rabbanan said until you get 100 against one, it should be machmir. But you need the initial answer of two against one. Here the Gemara is saying perhaps that's not true. Milay the Rabbanan Pligin means perhaps our rabbis argue and hold that even if you only have one white fig which is aser and 99 black figs which are mutter, those black figs are mevato the white fig, even though they're dissimilar. Now, what would the rationale be for that bittul if they're dissimilar? Chor only similar is mevato similar. Not dissimilar being vato similar. So what would the rationale be here for it to work? So the rationale the Gemara is going to say is that Truma's man is as Rabbana. So since the whole thing is Rabbana, so it's like hey Mamru, vei Mamru. They said it should be also, they said how it's going to work to be moderate. Okay? So far so good? So says Gemara, again, Milayim the Rabbanan Pligin. The words of the rabbis will argue that Mishnah in Trumos. Kahana shal l'Shmuel. Kahana ash Shmuel. Lo mistabra vei meduma. Now this gets back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that meduma, where you have stuff mixed in, chala mixed in with stuff, and you're not sure if there's enough to be chala mixed in. With Suffolk Truma in a pot. Now, what does it mean it's Suffolk Truma? You're not sure if there's enough other stuff to cancel the Truma. Right? So, Lomistara Behain Meduma. So, I forgot what he's saying. What? Okay. It's the watch, maybe. Let me start it again. Kanashal Shmo. Lo mistaber bahin meduma. You know, our mission said meduma is exempt from chala. Say meduma is exempt from chala. What meduma are we talking about? It makes sense that tznina nacha, that the meduma mentioned in Mishnah is one she ruba truma, where the majority of it is truma. Why is that? Because logic would dictate where would be a case where meduma would exempt you from challah if the truma was a majority, so it's mevatel the permissible stuff, the chulin berov. So now the whole thing has status of truma. So the whole thing has status of truma. Truma is not chayv and chalo. So he says our mission, which exempts meduma from truma, must be talking about a case where the majority of the mixture is truma, and then I say the miut is bata berov, and therefore no chayv chalo. So he takes out the next word, the second word time, it says truma. Amalei Shmuel said of anas sabrakein. I also hold the same way. Ella, nonetheless, when you go up to the Holy Land, at Shalom, ask them the question. When he came with Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kaka with Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yassim, Rabbi Yochanan didn't even have to ask. You heard Rabbi Yassim say the name Rabbi Yochanan. Afilu saw achashin ofla al tishim b'teisha chulin. Even if you got one measly measure of truma on your meduma, the whole thing is exempt from chala. The whole thing. The one measure of truma exempts the whole mixture from chala. On Rabbi Avo said, instead of kar, it should be kach. Kach meishiv Rabbi Shimon Lakish Rabbi Yechon. This is Rabbi Shimon Lakish used to ask Rabbi Yechon. He asked him, V'chi, Haseop Oter says, Hakol, does the one measure exempt you altogether? How could that possibly be? Amalei Rabbi Yechon answered him. He said, listen, V'chi igu ba'a igulim. You got a case like this. By Truma. You have a whole bunch of round cakes, of figs. Right, which fall together. So you have here one large roll of cake, one large roll of date cake, which fell into many small rolls of date cake. So you know which one is the big one. Is it bato? Yes, nonetheless, it's bato. Why? I'm a chiyubi lulim davar bari shatuma ala bi.
Wait a minute.
Okay, yeah, the case is not that outlandish. It's a tad less outlandish. You have a case like that. You have a large cake which fell into a batch of small and large cakes. Okay, so you take the large cake out and you take one of the large cakes out. I don't know which one, obviously, and you give it to a kohen as truma. We've had that. Mikra didn't have to do that because it's Bata Barov. We had because of Gezel HaShev, you take one out and give it to the Kohen. So it says, how do you know you picked the one which is Truma and gave it to the Kohen? Obviously you don't. So how do you mevatel it? We're talking about a case where there are several big ones and several small ones. Yet use both the big and the small to be mevatel the big. You should just reject all the small. They shouldn't have come into the cheshbon at all. Why? Because they're definitely not the ones, so there's no suffix on them. Nonetheless, Vata Marta, what are you going to say about that? Dover Kalu. The rule we're making on it. Why? Because Truma Bismana says the Rabbanon. Afacha, so to hear. If I have one measure of Truma in this Meduma, in this admixture, what do I say? Ultimately, though, Chala is what Bismana says? The Rabbanon. Kalu, it's a lighter case, meaning that despite the fact that we don't have a majority of Truma, only Maranai of Truma, we exempt you from Chal in that case. Now, we okay? The Asivne. Now, why did Rabbi Yochanan answer him? Shani Abi Gulin Shukfar Butlu. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say we're talking about? It's different. It's talking about a case where midaraisa, the large pressed date cake, is bata on at least two pressed date cakes. Why didn't he answer him that? Let Rabbi Shlomo say to Rabbi Yochanan, not that the whole katsa to truma bezman is as drabanon, but rather what? This is a case where even if the truma is daraisa, it's bata below midaraisa. Because you have one and two. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan answer that? You know why, says Gemara? Although Gemara doesn't say why, but the Gemara is implying, you know why? It must be that Rabbi Yochanan holds that even in the case where you have one
fig of truma which is white, which found to 99 figs of truma which is black, it's mevatel it. And that's why, since in that case he doesn't hold that in order to be mevatel the one white fig, you have to have at least two other white figs to say bitul barov midaraisa. It must be that even if you don't have that case, even if you have no similar figs, since Truma Bismana says the Rabbana, they were Mekel anyway, and they said the one fig is both Batel, even if it's white, in many black figs, or vice versa. The same thing here. That's why he didn't answer Rish Lakish and say, here the one pressed cake, the large one, is Batel to other large pressed cakes, because he holds you don't even need two other large pressed cakes. Since Truma's man says the Rabbana would be bottle anyway. Again, the Sivne Shrani Obi Gulin Shukvar Batlu. Why is the answer that's different where in the press case where they're bottle? So the answer is he doesn't hold that principle. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Tarvay, Rabbi Zira. They both named Rabbi Zira said, Afilu chitin bechitin toichinu matir. Not only is this true where you have one white fig and many black figs pressed together, because I might say the pressing together is what's matir them, because now they all became one happy mixture, or one unhappy mixture, as the case may be. But not just in that case, but even if you have two types of grain, one white and one red, one is truma, one is not. Tochinu Mati, you're allowed to grind them together and permit the one which is white by mixing it together. Okay?
It's a terribly stupid question. It's been bothering
me. Not terribly. No terribly stupid questions. Only two stupid ones.
This whole concept of Yehuda holding Min Bimino is never a bother.
Not at all.
That's
the rice. It's all the Rabbanans. Were the rice, so you'd be right. We're talking about all the rabbanans. True as man is as the rabbanan. Well, so therefore we don't have to worry about Rabbi Yehuda. But you're right. Were the rice, of course you should name those dafons. They're called Rabbi Yehuda.
All right.
Okay. Finally, the last, one of the last commodities mentioned, our mission is being exempt, if not the last commodity. No. Oh, by the Rabbanan, does your min b'minos bottle?
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember, but I think he does. I think that the Chumra Mashu is only by the Raisas. I might be totally wrong, but I think it's only by the Raisas. Said the Mara, one of the last cases of Mishnah, which is exempt, is when you have less than a shear. Less than 5/4. If you exactly 5/4, lo b'dor, that's not the case. I'm just talking about that case. You're chayav and chalom. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bum, Shem Rabbi Buna said, lo l'adoy samarito. This is not what not concerning this issue. Did Rabbi make a statement? Rabbi Avuna make a statement, or rather, the more complex issue. Elah, the following case. Dom Rabbi Yochanan said, meduma pater mina chalom. From meduma, as we just saw, you don't take challah. Suffik meduma. What if you have a suffik meduma? This is a case which we had back in Masech the Trumas, I think. Two cups. Truma fell to one of them. You don't know which one. This one has truma. This one has chulin. Truma fell to one. You don't know which one. So we assume it went into the truma one. That's what's called tolin, right? We assume it went into the truma one. Now, so truma's man says the rabbanon, so therefore we assume it went to the truma one, the other one's mutter. Nonetheless, not completely. Says more very interesting chiddush. Savi meduma vanecha mishum dimua. The one which you eat now, you assume chay b'chalolo, you have to give chal on it. When is it true? Ever Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Bum, Shem Rabbi Avuna said, "Hadid Mark Shayusham Yoiser Shayu Yoiser Mechamechus Avoyim." That's only if there are more than 5/4 in here.
Avoli mayu chameshes v'vayim mitzvotayim. They're exactly 5/4 in here. B'turmin achal tixer from achal meaning. Although I assume the truma went into here, it's possible the truma went into here, into my chulin, and therefore, in order for the chulin to be chayim achal, there has to be enough in the chulin to be above and beyond 5/4, and the volume of whatever truma fell in. Because the volume of whatever truma fell in does not add to the shear, not legitimately add to the shear, which is chayv mechala. So in this case, I have to have a little bit more than 5/4, meaning to take into account that were the truma to actually have fallen in here as opposed to in here, that would not impede on having the proper shear in order to be chayv mechala.
Why does it have to be more than 5/4?
Because I eat. Yeah, because if there was exactly 5/4 here, and the truma might have fallen in here. Midrabbanan, I assume it fell in here, but it might have fallen there. So I would have less than 5/4, less than the proper shear for challah. Because the truma is not mitzdarif for challah. So that's why I need the sum of more than 5/4 to compensate for maybe the truma is what fell in here. Okay? Halacha daled. Isa shetchilas suvganim. Dough, it started out being sponge-like. The sofa's gun, it ends up being sponge-like. Tchilas isa starts out being dough-like, meaning it's thicker consistency. The sofa's gun ends up being sponge-like. Or vice versa, tchilas suvganim starts out being sponge-like. The sofa isa then ends up being dough-like. Chayavis b'chalat chayavin chalot. V'cheina knufkos. Now, knufkos are like matzah balls, only they're matzah balls which they used to bring together. They used to bring it together not permanently. It was possible then to grind it up again. Our matzah balls, once you cook them together, they remain matzah balls. Those are stuff which you somehow glued together and was able to take apart again. So, chayavis, they're chayavin chalot. They're like bread. Mi'isa is stuff where you put the dough in hot water. So in that case, b'shamay potri. B'shamay says you're exempt from challah. B'shul says you're chayim challah. Ha'chalita is the exact opposite. You don't put the dough in the water. You pour the water over the dough. B'shamay mechayim. B'shamay says you're chayim challah. Beisul Paitre Beisul says you're exempt. Chalos Toida, the chalos brought by it for together with the carbon toda. Rakiki Nazir, the flatbreads brought with the carbon of a Nazir. I saw in Lats on Potter, if you made them for yourself because you are Chaydis Carbonos, so then you're Potter from Chalos because they have a din of Hektish. Limkar Bashuki, you made them to sell in the marketplace. So you made it to the marketplace right now, they don't even have a din of Hektish unless you meet somebody to whom to sell it. So therefore, they're chayim and challah.
Gordon, you're putting the challah dough in the water. Isn't that cooking it in the water? And you said before that it's not
chayim and challah? True. It had to be a case where it started off being dough. It only didn't end off being dough, but started off being dough. Okay.
Also, when we make egg challah, that's more spongy than regular water challah.
Yes.
Right. What would be the
That's a good question. Maybe it's Friday Taka wouldn't take off challah from egg challah. I don't know. See, I'm afraid to belie my amaratus. But do we take challah off cake? Off cake batter? Are you sure? No matter what the size? I'm not talking about Duncan Hines mix. It's not the right size.
What do you mean the right size? You mean like a baker?
Over 2 pounds. To be 43 and a fifth, 3/5 kebetz. Yeah.
I'll ask the baker tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure if we take off challah or not. My impression is that we do. So I assume that we take off all cake type stuff. Okay, that's my impression. Okay? I know that there's a famous famous Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says no, then you're required to take challah off from Chutz Laretz. It's like optional. It's like it's a gift. Okay. Starts a little further. So it says a little further. Chada Isa. Shalal Rabbi Mona. A certain woman asked Rabbi Mona. Begin to honor Baila Mebet Atzvasi. I want to make these sufa, these sponge like contraptions. Atzvasi say Atre. Downstairs. Yeah, when they're finished, that's when we start. Begin the. Dana boy meh, but atzvah seyatri. I want to make these sponge-like things. Mao di yantzvi yantzvana. Can I take a little bit of my regular dough, utape to a minachala, make that part of minachala? Okay. Can I take again a little bit of my regular dough, exempt myself from challah, and make it into the sponge cake? Amala, setter. Why not? Thing is, Asa Shoy Lavoy. Then Raimana went to ask his father, who was Rabbi Yaino, can I do it? Amalei also said, no, it can't. Shemati Malik Laso Isa, because maybe she's going to put it back. If she puts it back, it becomes part and parcel of the regular dough again. It comes Chayim and Chala. Now, the thing is, once, therefore, from this we derive, once it was a regular dough, we can't play tricks and try and split off a little bit, because then you'll get mixed up and confused. Put it back and it won't take off challah off it then. So the whole thing is a mess. Bottom line is, once it potentially is regular dough, you have to take off challah from it. And so too, haknuv kos chayavos. Getting back to our mission, said these, that this is the same way you made a comprise from a whole bunch of, you comprised a dough from, I said it's like matzah balls, but it's really like you took bread and you ground it up, you crumbled it up, and then you pressed it back together again. So that dough, which is made from the press bread, it's kind of like remaking bread from matzah meal or from breadcrumbs. So that dough is chayv and challah. Don't think, even though you can actually take it later on and break it apart again, right now it's exempt from chala, since now it became a foodstuff, so therefore it's chayv nechala. A foodstuff made out of bread. Amar Rabbi Barbar Zavda. So even though, again, it's made up. It's really hard for me to picture this, but you made matzah meal. You never really made bread. You made matzah meal, then you stuck the matzah meal together. It looks like bread, right? So now you should be chayev and challah, but it says, well, maybe not. Maybe since you can make a crumbs against her, exempt from challah. Right? Because it's not kederech achilas pas. It's not like normal bread. So Gemara says, no, since it has, you do have to take, the Mishnah said already, that you have to take challah off of that. Amar Rabbi Barbar Zavda. Barbar Zavda said, it should be Isas Marvin. The dough which is used to make pancakes. This is something which we just had in our Novishir the other day, that Tamar made for Amnon, Levivot, and it was called, she was Mavreher. Called the bria, that was the name of that meal. So these are pancakes. So they're chayv and challah. Now this is a plia because it's pancakes, it's not bread, right? So says Gemara, nevertheless, this is a gzeira. Shlotomar olva silach zila soltate p'tur min challah. Don't think because you're going to put it back afterwards to be dough. In order to fry it, so it's exempt from challah, it's chayv. So I guess what it was made like this wasn't stamp pancake. It wasn't pancake, it's made directly from the batter. What happened was, you would bake it, make it into bread, then grind it up again, and then fry it. So although it's kind of like the process of French toast, although not really the same thing, matzah bread.
Right, so I might say matzah bread is butter from challah because it wasn't bread. Kamash mulan that it is bread and therefore it's chayav and challah. Okay. Similarly, Rav Amar isas kuto chayevitz b'challah. The bread which you're going to crumble into your sour milk is chayav and challah. Lechora, why not? Lechora, why yes? It's not real bread. Amrabun shemati malch lasos chara levan again because you might make it into a loaf of bread. You might leave it as a loaf of bread. We have to therefore announce that those people are make avitzim, which is a milchic type of bread, and they make less than a shear. They make less than a shear at a time. The dion avdin lampachs mikashir avitzim dion and avdin lampachs mikashir they make less than a shear at a time. The nesamim shabtur because they think that way they're going to potter up. They were afraid maybe they'll make the whole shear at one time, and therefore we have to tell them they don't, no matter what, they have to take challah off of it. Alright, so these are really gzeiros to Rabbanon as to when you have to take challah no matter what, even though you think it's exempt. The Bavli does add, it says that, the Bavli adds in Brachos, it says that all this is only where the bread is baked. Where the bread is made in the sun, like we said before, which they a lot of they just make kutuch bread in the sun because they didn't bother baking because anyway they're going to crumble in the sour milk, then it's still chayev, it's still exempt from challah. That's me dafka bake. Yeah, but it's not flour. It means that it's going to be like matzah meal again. You know, you baked it and then you're going to crumble it up and start over again. It's not going back to full, you know, to nothing, I assume.